Let's all stand to our feet for the reading of the text that's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 22, at the conclusion of today's service, observance of the Lord's Supper. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from the place, put it there at his head, and laid down in that place. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground with its top reaching heaven, and God's angels were going up and down on it. Yahweh was standing there beside him, saying, I am Yahweh, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your offspring the land that you are now sleeping on. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out towards the west, the east, the north, and the south. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Look, I am with you and will watch over you whether you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that was near his head and set it up as a marker. He poured oil on top of it and named the place Bethel, though previously it was named Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, if God be with me and watch over me on this journey, if he provides me with food to eat and clothing to wear, and if I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I've set up as a marker will be God's house, and I will give to you a tenth of all that you give me. Recognizing God, part three. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this holy assembly. We thank you for the life, the health, the strength, the activity of our limbs that you've given us, God, that we can worship you on today. And now, Father, as Jacob of old, God, we need your help that we might recognize you, serve you, and love you. Now, God, open our eyes that we might see. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Mike Lindell is the founder and CEO of My Pillows, and his struggles with drug addiction and failed marriages and, of course, failed businesses are well documented and relatable to so many who have lost their way. But in 2009, he began the road of recovery that he credits to the grace of God. And yes, there is now corporate success. His net worth is over $300 million. The restless drug addict found rest in Jesus Christ, and now My Pillow helps scores and scores of Americans sleep a little better at night. And in our text here in Genesis chapter 28, we have an incredible story of all things a pillow. In verse number 11, Jacob's choice for a pillow one night was a stone, a rock. And how poetic. Up to now, Jacob has shown all the signs of being a hard head, a thick skull. He was known for his lying, his conniving, his deceitful business practices. In this chapter, he's running away from a painful past, broken family relations, but mostly God. And in this life, if the truth were to be told, all of us are running. You're either running from God or to God. Let the church say amen. And numbers of us seated here today are high flight risks. The Lord attempts us to arrest us by his love, but we ignore him. We avoid him. We trivialize the importance of faithfulness to him and justify our condition by comparing ourselves to other people. And isn't it amazing that while Jacob was running away from God, he actually ran into God and did not recognize him. There's an old saying, my God is so high you can't get over him, so low you can't get under him, and so wide you can't get around him. And the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, these words, whither shall I go from thy spirit? or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You see, beloved, if you ignore God all day, he just may keep you up all night. You see, when the Lord wants your undivided attention, he knows how to get it. And some of us need to be on call this morning. You say, what do you mean? Some of us have been boasting, telling God what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. You see, when you are walking with God, rather than making pronouncements of what you're going to do or what you're not going to do, you need to come to a point in your life, in your walk with the Lord, in which you ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Let the church say amen. You see, it's called respect. It's called accountability. It's called humility. And it's called obedience. Are you telling God what you're going to do and what you're not going to do? Or are you asking God what he would have you to do? Recognizing God. Look at our text in verses 11 and 12. It reads thusly. He reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from the place, put it there at his head, and laid down in that place. And he dreamed a stairway was set on the ground with its top reaching heaven and God's angels going up and down on it. In this morning's message, recognizing God, part three, the first point we want to note is point number one is this, jot this down, don't sleep on God. Don't sleep on God. You see, when your mind is not on God, God's mind is still on you. Let the church say amen. And in this dream, Jacob falls asleep, his head is on a stone that's serving as a pillow, and he has a dream of a ladder, a stairway, that reaches from earth up to heaven, and angels are ascending and descending upon this ladder, and at the top of it is the Lord himself. You say, well, what is this all about? In other words, it shows us that the Lord is administering the affairs of both heaven and earth. And the same Lord who is administering the affairs of heaven and earth is the same Lord who's capable of administering the affairs of your life. You see, God had a plan for Jacob's life, and God has a plan for your life, and God is fully capable of administering the affairs of your life. You see, he plans his work, and then he works his plan. Jacob was sleeping on God. He was running away from his family because he has swindled the birthright away from his brother Esau. His brother Esau was out to kill him. He's running from his family, he's running from God, and he's sleeping on God. And in this dream that he has, understand this, the Lord did not ask Jacob a single question. When the Lord spoke, he told Jacob what he was going to do. In this instance, it was not a conversation, it was a monologue. Only God was speaking. You see, sometimes when we go before God, we need to keep our mouths shut. Let the church say amen. Sometimes we think we need to tell God everything that's going on in our life. There's nothing wrong with telling God everything that's going on in your life, but the fact of the matter is he already knows what's going on in your life. In other words, we need to be all ears at times that we are seated before the Lord, that we are still before the Lord, that we are quiet before the Lord so that we can hear from the Lord. But it's hard to hear someone speaking when we're speaking at the same time. So in this instance, in this dream, the Lord appears to Jacob. It's not a conversation, it's a monologue, because God is doing all of the speaking. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time God spoken to you? The Lord was making declarative statements one after another. In verses 13 through 17, the Lord made seven declarative statements. Seven is the number of covenant. The Lord was speaking the words of covenant that he would keep with Jacob, which means leads to our second point. Jot this down. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. The Lord repeatedly stated, referring to himself, I will, I will, I will. When the Lord makes his pronouncements, don't make proposals. Let me say that again. When the Lord makes pronouncements, don't make proposals. None of us can improve on what God says, or the church say to say amen, or what he does. So the context of the covenant is the following. It is a covenant of favor, of blessings, a promise, and fulfillment. In other words, God does not reprimand Jacob. He doesn't take him to the woodshed. He doesn't correct him at all. God is speaking for the words of favor and of covenant to Jacob. And when God is speaking and making his pronouncements, don't add proposals to God's pronouncements. You see, you cannot improve on that. In other words, allow the Lord to bless you the way that he wants to bless you. Now, how many of you, in time past, you've told God how you want him to bless you, and now you regret it? Let the church say amen. Allow the Lord to bless you the way he wants to bless you, not the way you want him to bless you. Why? Because you don't know what's best for yourself, but he does. You know a few things, but God knows everything. You have a finite mind, but God has an infinite mind. So we got to trust God. God, bless me whatever way you want to bless me, so long as you bless me. Let the church say amen. Recognizing God. But there's a third thing I want you to note. Thirdly, the house of God is an awesome place. Recognizing God, the house of God is an awesome place. Look at verse number 16 and 17. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now, God has a place for us to encounter him in an awesome way, and it's called the house of God. Let me say that again. God has a place for us to encounter him in an awesome way, and it's the house of God. You say, what do you mean by that? You see, when it comes to the house of God is dedicated, it is consecrated, it is set apart for the worship of God. The house of God constitutes a sacred space. A sacred space where saints, angels, and God convenes. When we assemble together, we the saints are assembling. Let the church say amen. When we assemble together, the angels are assembling because God has assigned angels to each and every one of us. Let the church say amen. When we assemble together in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord is present. So the church or the building, the house of God, is a sacred space for the convening of saints, angels, and God. The house of God is a sacred place. And it's a sacred place where we enter into a spiritual realm. The house of God is the place where heaven and earth meet. The saints, the angels, and God. It is the place of covenant. In a few moments, we're going to enter into the new covenant of Jesus Christ as we partake of the bread and drink of the blood. Why? This cup is the cup of the new covenant, which is shed for many. This is a place of favor, of blessings, and promises. When Jacob was running from God, only to realize he ran into God at Bethel, the house of God. You see, running from his uncle's house, he ran into God's house. What is the point? We must return to our understanding a recognizing God in the house of God. If God is not in the house, why should we refer to this as the house of God? If God is not in the house, it's just another house of the church, amen. But it's been consecrated, it's been dedicated, it's set apart for the convening of saints, angels, and God. You see, Jacob, he came to the understanding of recognizing God in the house of God. Jacob had, you could jot this down, an awakening. He was asleep. He had a dream. And in the dream, he experienced an awakening of the recognizing of God in the house of God. We need an awakening before it's too late. You know, for the first time in human history, churches across the world were closed due to COVID-19. And then last week, after all these months of churches being shut down, the Chinese government did something. And by the way, please remember that intelligence and suspicions are this virus originated in China. And please remember that China is an atheistic country government. And last week, the Chinese government brought forth an order that all its citizens, and particularly Christians, are to remove all sacred images and objects from their homes. No Christian paraphernalia in your homes. No crosses, no crucifix, no paintings, no pictures, the Lord's Supper, no nativity scenes. All Christian paraphernalia is to be removed from the home. And if you don't, at the risk and consequence, a penalty. What kind of penalty? Upwards of 2/3 of your salary will be lost if in your home you are found to have any Christian paraphernalia. You say, well, Pastor Bob, what are you trying to tell me? I'm telling you this. The church is asleep. The church doesn't even realize that God is in the house of God. It is a sacred place. And what we've discovered is the following, that the Chinese government that have ordered removal of all Christian paraphernalia, now that paraphernalia must be replaced with the pictures of the prime minister and president of the Communist Party of China. The devil is taking over. If you believe it, raise both hands. The devil is taking over. Listen to me. Until we come to a point of recognizing God, the world will no longer recognize the church. The devil who drove prayer out of schools is the same devil that is driving Christians out of their churches and is now a sought to drive God out of our homes. To remove all semblance of God from the culture. That's the goal of the atheists. That's the goal of the communists. That's the goal of the socialists. Don't you know we're living in a time of iconoclasm? What is iconoclasm? It's the destruction of images and statues. It's not just Confederates. It's not just this and that. Don't you know that church Christian statues are being desecrated and pulled down? Don't you understand that churches are being set on fire? Don't you understand these things are happening? What is it? It's iconoclasm. It's the removal of sacred images so that in this culture, over a short span of time, that people will no longer have the recollection of God. You say, that's crazy. Beloved, listen to me. It has always been stated by Christian philosophers, theologians, and preachers the following: we're just one generation from getting God. We're just one generation away from forgetting God. And when you remove all physical semblance and reminders of God, it just accelerates the pace of no recollection of God. Beloved, I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The devil is taking over. Christians are asleep. We need an awakening of the recognizing of God in the house of God. Many slept on God this morning and did not make their way to the house of God. Many slept on God this morning and not even looking at the live stream of God this morning. In other words, we've come to a point of convenience rather than conviction. We've come to a point of leisure rather than sacrifice. Listen to me, where there's no sacrifice, there's no Christianity. You cannot have Christianity without the cross. What is the cross? It's a sacrifice. Get rid of the cross, you have no Christianity. You have no Christianity if you don't have followers who are willing to sacrifice for Christ. This thing is conviction, not convenience. What are you saying? The devil is taking over. He took over the school system. He put Christians out of their churches. And now he's trying to take God out of our homes. And many Christians are in a spiritual slumber, not even recognizing that God is speaking while we're sleeping. Our minds may not be on God, but God's mind is on us. So the church say amen. And Jacob realized, I did not know. This is an awesome place. This is the house of God. And I knew it not. Finally, it's interesting how God introduced himself to Jacob. He said, I am the God of Abraham, your grandfather. I'm the God of Isaac, your father. And then he stopped right there. He stopped right there. Because guess what? God is a God of truth, and God cannot lie. And God was not prepared to say, and I am your God. Because guess what? Jacob had not made the decision to make the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac his God. He may be your grandfather's God. He may be your parents' God. But is he your God this morning? You've got to decide what God is going to say or what he's not going to say regarding you. He could not say it. Because Jacob had not made a decision. And let me tell you this, not to make a decision is to make a decision to reject God. Everybody's got to make a decision whom you're going to serve. And Jacob, he realized, this is the house of God. I realized it not. And he says, Lord, if you keep me, if you bless me, and you allow me to return to this place, I will make you my God, and I will give you tithes of everything I have. Now let me ask you this question this morning. How many of you God has blessed you? Raise both hands. If God has blessed you, matter of fact, why don't you just stand on your feet right now? If God has blessed you, put both hands before God. Put them up before God. Is he not worthy to be not only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he ought to be your God this morning? God has kept his promises.
God has done all that is necessary. Now it's your time to do what is necessary to accept his son, Jesus Christ, recognizing God. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Oh God, you've done all that could be done. There's nothing more you can do, God. You sent your only begotten Son. You gave your Son, the Son gave his life. And Father, we have to make a decision what we're going to do. And so, Father, I pray that there would be an awakening, a recognizing of the house of God, and a recognizing of God. God, we know the devil is attempting to take over. He took over the schools. He's run Christians out of their churches. And he's trying to take God out of our homes. God, it's time that we have a spiritual awakening and know what time it is. If you believe it's praying time, say amen.
Amen.
It's praying time. Jesus said, my house is to be called of all nations a house of prayer. It's praying time. Father, help every man, woman, boy, and girl to do that which they're glad they've done when standing in your presence one day. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.